Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. I am joined by the Reverend C.L. Bryant with freedomworks.org.
Yes.
You've got a couple different hats, Pastor.
Yes, indeed I do. Of course, we have the C.L. Bryant Show, which is coast-to-coast on Red State Talk Radio every day, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So download the free app and tune us in.
All right. Now, you're on the FreedomWorks tour, and you're talking about tax reform.
Right. We have been on this tour now throughout the country, from Sacramento to New York City. We've been telling the country that it is time now for tax reform. And in doing so, we do take into account the failures of Obamacare and that type of thing. But now we do have something that we feel this Senate and the House of Representatives can do in a bipartisan way in helping us as Americans move forward on our American journey.
Really? With all this dysfunction, you think they can work on a bipartisan basis to get tax reform done? You think that can actually happen?
That's a very good word, dysfunction, because we have seen an American dysfunction over the past, let's say 16 years. It has been moving in that direction. And it has gotten progressively worse, and we are seeing perhaps the apex of it now. But to answer your question, yes, I do believe that there will come a point, there is a crossroad that we are approaching where we will see that it is necessary for us to work together in order to save the Republic.
A lot of diehard conservatives just don't see the left caving in, especially when it comes to taxes, because, you know, they want to redistribute the wealth. So what makes you think that tax reform can get done?
Let me put my pastor's hat on. I think that's John 5 and 6. Jesus comes upon a paralytic man by the pool of Bethesda, and he had been there for so long, paralyzed. And he asked him a question: do you want to get well? And America's at a point now where we're going to have to ask that question of ourselves. Do we want to get well? And if we're honest, and if we are patriots, and that's a word that has definitely lost its appeal to too many, it's been taught out of our children in so many areas, but we're going to have to ask ourselves the question, do we want to get well? And if the answer is yes, then the same answer or response that Jesus gave to that paralytic man is then get up from where you are, you rise up, you walk, and you go to the place of healing. And so that's what I'm certainly hoping can occur.
Oh, when you talk about tax reform, just what kind of tax reform are you looking for?
When we're looking at our tax system, we're looking at regulations on big business as well, on business, whether it's big or small. We're looking at taxes, whether they're flat or taxes, or which is one of our favorites. Are we looking to the overhaul of the IRS system, of the way we are taxed? The entire tax program, the entire system of American taxes would be foreign to our founding fathers. Our founding fathers never intended for us to bear this type of burden. Surely the revolution didn't start because of a brand of tea or the type of tea that we were talking about money here. And the secret of America is being able to keep what you earn, whether your name is Rockefeller or whether it's Smith. The tax burden of those who are producers and earners in this country is something that has to make certain that by the sweat of your brow, you're able to keep what you have earned.
Well, the left is going to say, you know, you look at tax reform, all these conservatives want are big breaks for corporations and to help the big guys, mm-hmm. and the people in the middle class and the low-income folks are left out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that has always been a point of interest for all of us. But there was a time, and we're talking now about making America great again. Well, when was America its greatest? And that was when the middle class, the little guy, the working guy, the blue-collar guy, was able to purchase his own home, keep his child or send his child in school by saving his earned money. There have been times in America where, even though that mantra has been very prevalent, as far as the rich getting richer and the big guy getting bigger and the poor guy getting stepped on, we can't deny that America has been a place. In fact, America is still the greatest wealth-producing machine in the entire world. And if America goes away, where do people go? And I frankly can't name a better place than the country that we live in. And neither can anyone else who are living in other countries who would love to come here and trade places with you and I.
So the tax reform that you'd like to see implemented would help families.
Would help all families, because the American dream is, and it always has been, the ability to keep your family safe, fed, warm, and dry. Not necessarily the picket fence or the big car or even the six-figure or seven-figure job. There was never any guarantees for anybody who first came here. Nobody ever knew that they would survive, even the runaway slave off the plantation when he ran away from that tyrannical system. He didn't know if he'd ever see freedom. Neither did the Mayflower Pilgrims when they sailed from the tyranny of King George. They didn't know that they'd ever get here, or if they'd survive if they got here. But they found a place where they could keep their family safe, fed, warm, and dry. That has always been the essence and the foundation of the American dream.
But in our American cities, it's very hard for a lot of black folks, Hispanic folks, to be safe, fed, and warm.
Yeah.
The economy in those communities is so bad that, you know, we have double-digit unemployment in those areas. So what can Congress and the Trump administration do to make an impact there?
You know, I'm glad that you asked me that question, because when we frame it in the sense of what can Congress and the president do to make an impact there, I believe that's exactly where we have, as Americans, have lost the compass as far as we are the ones who steer this ship. What we have done in this country to create the inner cities is get away from the thing that made my grandfather, who was illiterate, Frederick Douglass, who was a three-time runaway slave before affirmative action, who did not have the opportunities that any of us enjoy at this point in time before affirmative action. What created the inner city was the programming of people to be codependent upon big government. And big government, once it becomes daddy, once it becomes the provider of your sustenance, then it has the ability to create an underclass that remains there for them as a voting block. And so there, we have the inner city people, really, if you poll them about who they voted for president, they voted for Barack Obama. Now, I'm not here to besmirch or throw mud on Barack Obama, or any president for that matter. But many times people who are in the predicaments that you describe, as far as the inner city is concerned, created that circumstance for themselves by not being engaged in the political process beyond what they were told to do. And when I go back and cite my grandfather, he voted his pocketbook. Frederick Douglass, when he ran away from slavery three times, caught twice, third time free. He was seeking something that he knew did exist in this country, but he wanted it for himself. And whatever it would cost, he was willing to get that, even if it cost him his life. And that's exactly why the 56 signers of the Constitution, men who had no real reason outside of liberty and freedom, pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. They did no more than what the runaway slave would have done. And they did no more than what inner city people should do today. And that is sell out whatever is necessary to secure the American dream.
So I asked the wrong question. It's not about government and what Congress can do. It's what you can do.
Right. What you can do. In fact, one of our most well-known presidents, his greatness, history will decipher that, John F. Kennedy, did ask that question back in 1960. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. That has been absolutely turned on its ear in 2017. The American entitlement mentality is so prevalent that now people are always asking. In fact, the mantra is, what is the government going to do about it? What is the government going to do about it? No, government starts at your kitchen table. When you go to your city council meeting, you go to your school board meetings, you go to your home association meetings, whatever that is, that's where government starts. And I've seen both sides of this street, and I do know that as a former president of the NAACP in Garland, Texas, that there is a design to keep our faces turned toward big government. But when you run away from that plantation, you find a type of freedom that even those who came here on the Mayflower and in that runaway slave to find freedom, we can still find that. It's still there.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We will continue our conversation with the Reverend C.L. Bryant after this.
Americans have been traveling down the health insurance highway for decades. But lately, it's been taking us to places we don't want to go. For Christians, it's hard to know which road to take. Or is it? Samaritan Ministries provides a different direction, a biblical path for their members to pray for each other and share financially in each other's medical needs.
This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This is what God intended for the church.
Do you believe that you need an insurance company, or do you believe that God will provide your needs? And there are people that you've never met before who are going to pray for you and meet your needs. There's another way.
Looking for a new direction for your health care? Visit us online at SamaritanMinistries.org.
Hello, I'm David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, a state-based Christian pro-life and pro-family public policy organization. I want to invite you to join us as we seek to be salt and light to a dark and rapidly decaying culture. You can do that in a number of ways. For example, you can join our email list to get timely alerts and great cultural commentaries. You can like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, listen to our podcast, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can attend one or more of the special events and forums we host in different parts of the state. We do all these things to encourage and equip Christians in Illinois. You see, we need you to help us fulfill our mission to boldly bring a biblical perspective to public policy. Our faith requires us to be bold, speak truthfully, and love our neighbors. Join us. Visit IllinoisFamily.org to learn more.
Thanks once again for joining us here on the Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick with you, joined by the Reverend C.L. Bryant with Freedom Works. And you have a radio show. Tell us again.
Yes, the C.L. Bryant Show on Red State Talk Radio, coast to coast. Red State Talk Radio, you can download the free app, or maybe it comes over a terrestrial station, wherever you are. Or if you're in a new Ford, you can just say, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
All right. Listen, here you are, a black conservative, and the left would have us believe that you are few and far between and your voices don't count. What's your reaction to that? You get marginalized.
In my movie, Runaway Slave, which did win the Crystal Dove Award 3 years ago now, we have everybody in this film from Dr. Thomas Sowell to Dick Gregory to Glenn Beck to, Al Sharpton. And I ask Dick Gregory the question, what do you think about black conservatives? Dick Gregory says, there's no such thing. They don't exist. So, Monty, there I was, a figment of my own imagination, standing there. And so the thing is this. There is a certain tribalism that it affects all of us as Americans. But the one thing I have seen is that it does affect black people in ways that have caused them to vote in blocks. And anyone who breaks out of that mold, break out of that block, that voting block in particular, become a renegade, a maverick, what have you, then it is the incumbent job of the overseers of that block to make them a public display. just like capturing a runaway slave and bringing him back and having him whipped in front of all the other slaves so that you make them fear what will happen to them if they even try to do the same thing. So it is incumbent upon those who are still trapped in that tyrannical system to turn on me as a black conservative, because they have been told by the tribal chief, and many times, unfortunately, I'm a pastor. I've pastored three churches across the country. 33 years I've been preaching the gospel. Oh, well, longer than that, preaching the gospel. But many times the tribal chiefs are co-opted pastors in whatever community it might be in order to tell the people how this is how we're going to vote. And if the chief says this is how we're going to vote, then usually that's how we vote. And that has been the power of the Democrat Party for over 60 years, maybe longer.
You see signs of a breakthrough, though?
Yes, I do. And the type of work that I do caused me to suffer the slings and arrows of that. But America is going to see, I do believe, its best and better days as we go forward. I have no doubt, I have no question that our land, our nation, that God is going to come and He is going to heal it. I believe that we are going to heed the words of preachers that come out of Moody and places like that. I do believe they're going to hear the clarion call that we need to turn our faces toward home, and we're going to hear the words of Christ rise up. If you do want to get well, do you want to be well, then rise up and walk.
But you talked about dysfunction, and boy, we see that happening in government. We see that happening on the streets of America where there's anarchy going on. You have the Klan out there in full force now and what have you, and then people who want to kill police officers. But you say there's hope.
Oh, sure. Absolutely there is. Law and order and the human nature is something that we have always been able in one fashion or another to subdue. These aren't the worst times that have ever existed on the planet. It may be some of the worst times that we're sailing into now in America, but one of the things that we may very well may be able to do is learn the lessons from the past. Now, I was alive. I was 8 years old, 9 years old at the signing of the Civil Rights Act in 64, 65. I was alive then. I've drank from the colored water fountains. I've written on the back of the bus. I've actually gone to the state fair on Negro Day in Louisiana. That was the only day in the two-week run that black people, Negroes, could go to the fair at that time. And I'd like to say to the young people out there who are trying to live with the ghost of the past and bring back the ghost of the past, this is not the 60s. Take it from me. This is not the 60s. And so let's not pretend that we are.
Well, let's be a little Illinois exclusive, if you don't mind. You're speaking at the Illinois Conservative Conference, Illinois Conservatives United, and we got troubles in Illinois. We're dead broke. We've got rampant violence in the city of Chicago. Give me a ray of hope for Illinois.
Illinois, take back your state. As I told you earlier, government begins at the kitchen table of wherever you live in Illinois, whether it's upstate or downstate in Illinois. Take back your state. Take it back county by county, precinct by precinct, but be of the mindset that you can do that. And don't let any politician, don't let any preacher tell you otherwise. It is your state. And if you want to be in an Illinois state of mind, then be in an Illinois state of mind, because this is where you have chosen to live and raise your children and worship and pay your taxes. So take it back, because it does belong to you.
So if folks would like to connect with you, what can they do?
You can follow me on Twitter at Rev, R-E-V, C-L Bryant. You can go to theclbryantshow.com and follow me there. And you can always become a part of the largest grassroots organization in the nation, and that is Freedom Works. We boast 6.2 million activist on the ground just like you. You can go to freedomworks.org, freedomworks.org, and don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Rev C. L. Bryant.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Monty.
Thanks for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.